You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 9th of April 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we are broadcasting live today at RadioAlbion.com as you just heard, thanks to that blooper, because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RushJournal.org. Matt, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
You know, even my dreams are boring. Last night, I had a dream that we did this show on the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. We got into a big fight, screaming and yelling at each other. That's what I dreamt about for a long period of time. Even my dreams aren't exciting. My God, what a life I lead.
Well, you would expect to have unexciting dreams with so much exciting stuff that's going on around us. We've got so much doom and gloom and catastrophe, but at least I think we've got some more positive news stories to talk about today, particularly positive newsworthy person as well, Viktor Orban, who I think is probably the best leader that we have in Europe at the moment, and he just seems to be going from strength to strength. And there are three news stories about him at the moment, which I think are all good news stories. And the first one is actually about something, a bill that he's actually put before Parliament over there in Hungary, which has really got leftists screaming. And this is actually a report from one of their websites, Human Rights Watch. On March the 31st, the Hungarian government submitted a bill to Parliament that, among other things, would make it impossible for transgender people to legally change their gender. It was unclear when Parliament might debate and vote on the bill. The proposed amendment to the Registry Act would include a clarification regarding the word nem, which in Hungarian can mean both sex and gender, to specifically refer to the sex at birth as biological sex based on primary sexual characteristics and chromosomes. According to the draft bill, the birth sex, once recorded, cannot be amended. And then they say, this is apparently an attack on a vulnerable minority group comes amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, when instead of focusing on ways to protect public health from the virus, the government used the crisis as a pretext to grab unlimited and indefinite power by proclaiming a state of emergency, enabling it to rule by decree. Well, no, because of the emergency, that's why they declared a state of emergency, not so that they could put this bill before Parliament that Human Rights Watch admit they don't actually know when it's going to be debated and when it's going to pass. It's basically stating biological fact. Gender is determined by chromosomes. If somebody wants to say that they don't like the body that they're in, they don't like the gender then that they are in, they're free to dress up as the other gender. If they're good at it, then you know maybe they might pass at it, but they shouldn't be able to say I am a man. You know, you can't point to a hippopotamus and say that's a rhinoceros. It believes it's a rhinoceros. You have to have these biological terms that are defined by reality, defined by biology. And that's what they're putting into this bill, is that gender is determined by chromosomes, which it is. I mean, what are they saying here? This is not true. I mean, it's a fact. That is what determines somebody's sex and their gender is chromosomes. Women have XX, men have XY. And as far as I'm aware, I mean, this is the first guy in Western Europe, or the first country in Western Europe to actually do this. And to say this is an attack on transsexuals, it's not an attack on transsexuals. It's transsexuals that are making an attack on reality, an attack on the rest of us, because this is biology that we're talking about. As I say, they're free to call themselves whatever they like, but they shouldn't be able to claim that reality is somehow different to what it is. Biology is somehow different to what it is. I think this is great news, Matt. What do you make of it?
Well, you know, his party runs two-thirds, as far as I remember, two-thirds of parliament. So whenever this comes up for a vote, it's going to go through. You know, one of the things I agreed with in Alexander Dugin's writings on the virus is that this crisis and the collapse of the economy, people's priorities are going to change. Can you imagine how this is even an issue as economies come crashing down, that they're so arrogant and self-centered that they're worried about this? And these are a lot of the people who are calling for emergency powers. And this article, the whole article, this woman who writes it, is calling on the European Union to intervene and to condemn him and to overthrow this bill, really, and overthrow him, which is a damn good argument for leaving it. And as you know, Human Rights Watch belongs to Soros and Goldman Sachs. It's a big banker's NGO. So none of this is a surprise. But anyone who calls themselves something other than what they are that's the very definition of insanity. That's what this is. This is not normalizing transgenderism. This is normalizing mental illness, because these people need to be treated as mentally ill personalities.
Well, Orban is a big traditionalist, isn't he? I mean, he's big on the family. He's big on marriage. He wants to encourage people to get married, as we'll see later on in this podcast. And one of those attacks on tradition is traditional gender roles, which are determined by biology. Men have a third more upper body strength than women do, for a start. So men do different things to women. You can't put women in places where things such as labouring jobs, building jobs. I mean, women haven't got the strength to wheel wheelbarrows and lug around concrete blocks. They haven't got the strength to go digging in coal mines and fighting on the front line of battles. These are all the sort of things that men do, and women are best suited for feeding children. Men can't even feed children. It's quite obvious what the gender roles should be. And Viktor Orban is a supporter of this. He's putting this bill through Parliament. And as you say there, Matt, for them to be complaining about this, on the other side of the scale, they're actually complaining that because of this coronavirus crisis, people aren't talking about LGBTQ rights enough. They're worried that they're going to be left off the agenda and people aren't going to talk about it. And yet here, where we have got something concerning that, they're saying, you know, this isn't good enough. This is just going to be pushed to the side, and we don't know when this is going to take place. And to be honest, he has the right to do whatever he likes in Hungary because he's got a two-thirds majority. The EU has got no right to interfere, and the EU is falling apart anyway over its incompetence and failure to help Italy during this crisis. But Hungary is a part of Europe, and Hungary is also involved in the corona crisis. And Orban has had some really good things to say about it when he's been interviewed. This was an interview at the end of March where he actually spoke about it. At the end of March, Hungary's nationalist Prime Minister Viktor Orban blamed foreigners and migration for the spread of coronavirus in Hungary, as the authorities announced the two infected Iranians were to be expelled. And this is because it was Iranians that actually brought it in there. Now, he's not blaming foreigners and migration. He's identifying foreigners and migration having brought it over here. It's a foreign virus. It came about on the other side of the world. There's no other way that it could get to this side of the world unless it was caught from foreigners. So he's just pointing out the facts. Orban, when asked during a radio interview why Hungary had closed its universities but not its schools in response to the virus outbreak, said it was because there are lots of foreigners there. Our experience is that primarily foreigners brought in the disease and that it is spreading among foreigners, he said. So far, Hungary has confirmed 19 cases of infections. 9 of them Iranians, mostly university scholarship holders, 1 British national, and the rest Hungarians. It's no coincidence that the virus first showed up among Iranians, said Orban. We cannot separate the tens of thousands of foreign students from the Hungarian students. That's why we thought it best to stop all visits to those institutions, he said. And it's particularly interesting that over half of the people that actually have this disease in Hungary have brought it there from other countries. And one of them was actually British. So he's not blaming foreigners for this, as it said in the first sentence. He's just speaking facts. And once again, because people don't actually like the sound of those facts, they claim that they're not actually real. I mean, obviously, it's common sense. The people most likely to be spreading this will be coming from the countries that are hotspots for it, which would be Iran now and obviously China before. And if you want to prevent that from coming into your country, you want to prevent this disease from coming in, you prevent people from coming in from these hotspots. What do you make of this forthright opinion of his here? He seems to be the only person that's actually saying this, Matt, and being open about it.
Yeah, it's a common leftist trope. As far long far back as I can remember, that people like us blame other groups for our problems. And I've never heard one of our people say that in my entire life. Like you say, inconvenient facts are always a problem for these people. Nature is a problem. And the very fact that you remember in North Italy, they had Hug a Chinaman or Hug a Chinese Man Day. You're supposed to go up and hug these guys on street corners and stuff like that. That was actually a real thing. That's the insanity. And I'm sure had something to do with the rapid spread of this, a month ago. But he's right, of course. And I assume that these guys went back to Iran and came back with it, because I don't think they got it in Hungary. And so he has every right to do this. He has every right to protect his people. Hungary hasn't been powerfully affected by this, and he wants to keep it that way. And all this is going to do, whether it be the trans stuff or the getting rid of the infected stuff, is just going to blow his popularity increasingly to the point that he'll be one of the most popular politicians in the world. He's going to hold on to that two-thirds majority for the foreseeable future.
I think he probably is one of the most popular politicians in the world. He's probably up there with Putin. Well, the Interior Ministry announced on Friday that two Iranian students diagnosed with the virus would be expelled because they had left a hospital quarantine hall without permission and with no protective clothing. They had been aggressive towards the medical staff who placed them in isolation, the statement added. The pair would be expelled as soon as their health permitted and banned from staying in Hungary for 3 years. In Hungarian language, messages posted on its Facebook page, the government has warned Iranians of detention and deportation if they don't cooperate with disease control authorities. And this is something we're seeing right the way across Europe. We're seeing newcomers who are catching this disease, who are being told they need to quarantine themselves, and they're not obeying the quarantine. The outbreak in Italy, we were talking about there, Matt, about the Hug a Chinese, that's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it was a migrant, and I forget whether he was Pakistan, Afghani, or Iranian. It was from one of those countries, and he was diagnosed with the disease. He was told he had to quarantine himself, and he went back to working at a fast food Chinese restaurant, I think it was. And he wasn't just delivering the food, he was actually involved in making the food. And he became a super spreader. And he spread the disease among loads of people by refusing to do what he was told to do. We've got in the heavily migrant areas in France at the moment, the police have said, we just can't police them. We can't get them to stay inside, because they think this is just a hoax that white people have invented to keep the migrants indoors. So they're just refusing to do as they're told to do, and they are actually spreading this. And also, the second point that I want to make about this is that people will attack Hungary, but look what they said, they would be expelled as soon as their health permitted and then banned from staying in Hungary. So they're still being treated in Hungary for this disease. It's just that they've had to waste police time by putting police or security on the door of the hospital to make sure that they don't walk out and infect other people. What do you make of this, Matt?
You know, every other day I'm reading an article about third worlders, even to the point of getting violent, breaking quarantine. The migrants in Greece is one that I read about recently. There's no doubt there's a racial divide here. And I suppose that's part of the reason, is that they think this has just been invented to hurt them. And I know the Iranian government has to be humiliated because you know, Hungary and Iran have relatively good relationships. They're not, you know, engaged in any sanctions or anything like that. So this doesn't make the Iranians look good. And not to mention, you know, having a scholarship to a Hungarian university, that means these kids are of the upper classes. So this is the best of the Iranian students. So there's got to be a racial connection here where they're simply – they believe that they're not even under the jurisdiction of these countries. And I'm seeing this all over the place. It's overwhelmingly non-whites who are infected that are just refusing to stay quarantined. And that for no reason, you don't need any other reason to get rid of them, health permitting or no health permitting. Though I'd hate to be the cops that have to actually do it. But they have every reason to defend themselves this way. And it's not the first time that the left has advocated policies that can kill people. You know, allowing migrants in, feminists demanding more migrants into Sweden. You know, the more of us that die, the better in their mind. And so, you know, some of the positive elements of this thing is that the left looks more and more stupid, if that's even possible, for some of these policies and attacking Hungary for defending themselves.
Well, it certainly doesn't look good on Iran, does it? Considering they were given scholarships, you know, as you say, they must have been fairly upper class Iranians, and then to behave like this, you know, it does reflect badly on Iran. In the week that the first infections were confirmed, both Iranian students, Budapest suspended the issuing of visas to Iranian citizens. Earlier in March, Hungary barred the doors indefinitely to its border camps for asylum seekers, as it said refugees and migrants arriving there may have been in the virus hotspot of Iran. Again, that's common sense that they may well have passed through Iran, especially if they're Afghani or Pakistani or Iraqi. They're all likely to go through Iran on the way to Turkey. Government officials and Hungarian media have also drawn a link between the virus outbreak and migration. We are fighting a two-front war. One front is called migration, and the other front belongs to the coronavirus. There is a logical connection between the two, as both spread with movement, Orban is quoted as saying. So, again, he's just speaking the facts here. They're coming in from that area. They're coming in from Iran. They're making their way through Turkey. Iran is a hotspot. So, of course, there is a percentage of them that are going to be bringing this disease with them. They all live close together in these camps. There isn't much soap and water there in the camps. They haven't got much sanitizer. They haven't got many of the facilities that we have. And it's just going to spread like wildfire there. What they have to do before that happens, they need to turn them back into Turkey, where there is no war in Turkey. They're supposed to claim asylum in the first country that they actually come to, and now is the time that we need to be saying that, because before it explodes in Greece, because that is bound to happen. I think we're going to get it's just going to take off in some of these camps. I think, when you make of that, Matt, have you heard anything about it taking off in any of these camps yet?
I have, and I'm worried about border guards, especially in Greece. When the battle of Idlib began, was that 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago, Turkey threatened to let all these migrants go through. But these migrants didn't have anything to do with the battle in North Syria. These people were from all over Central Asia that had been lined up in Turkey for a long time. Depending on, you know, what the numbers of the infected, as soon as a border guard starts shooting these people, if they're, you know, rushing the border or rushing the gate, these guys having no idea what they have, what kind of disease they have, that is going to lead to, you know, extreme condemnations of these governments for taking that kind of violent action. It wouldn't surprise me if one of these border guards opened fire, if there's violence. You know, I mean, no one wants to touch them. No one wants to be near them. Riots have already broken out, and it seems that shooting may be the only way to deal with them, rather than have riot police go up to them with a shield and a baton. I don't know if that's happened yet, but I'm pretty sure it will. And when that happens, the regime is going to go crazy. But I'm hoping Dugin is right. You know, when he said pretty soon they're going to associate third world migrants with the disease. And these articles, even if they're really negative, these articles may do that, because slowly but surely in the popular mind, they're associating migration, third world, their arrogance, the EU policy. They're associating this with the disease. And over time, it's going to be a greater and greater, a stronger connection in the popular mind. So that's something that maybe over time is going to help us too.
I certainly hope, that part of Dugin's predictions comes true. And when you think about it, all the refugees, or the quote unquote claiming fake refugees that come across the channel into Britain, claim to have come from Iran. So that should be, you know, that should be the first reason to say, well, you're not coming in because you've just come from a hotspot with this virus. And we'll have to see whether they change the place that they say that they've actually come from. Well, just to look at a more positive side of Hungary, we've got some very good news that's come out from there as well, to do with Viktor Orban's anti-white genocide policy. The pro-family policies pursued by Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban's government as an alternative to mass immigration are reaping dividends, with births up 9.4% year on year. Eduard von Habsburg, the Central European country's ambassador to the Holy See and great-great-grandson of Emperor Franz Joseph I of Austria-Hungary, reported that the much-ridiculed policies were also accompanied by a near 100% increase in marriages and the number of children per woman rising to an average of 1.6. So some very, very promising statistics here. The births are up 9.4% year on year, and there's been a 100% increase in marriages, and the number of children per child has gone up to 1.6. And what I find interesting about this is this Eduard von Habsburg, he's the ambassador to the Holy See. And you would think that the Pope would be very pleased about this. There are lots of marriages in Hungary. They're producing lots of children. They're very pro-family. But no, the Pope is likening populist politicians to Nazis and Adolf Hitler this week. Absolutely ridiculous. And I mean, what Viktor Orban is doing here is the opposite of what the other governments are doing, who are saying, well, we don't have enough people in our country, so what we'll do is we'll just import people from other countries to make up the difference. And anybody sensible realizes that by doing that, you just destroy your culture, you destroy your own nation. Viktor Orban has realized that. He's put these policies in place, and he's showing that there is an alternative to this replacement migration. You just increase the births of your own people. And you know, you may say, well, 9.4%, that's not that much, but that's an increase. Everywhere else, it's going down. What do you make of this, Matt? I think this is great news.
This is one of the most exciting statistics I've come across recently, because in a short period of time, I mean, it's almost 10%. That's a big deal. Now, I worry about a policy like that in the U.S. because the non-white population, the recent immigrant population, is so high. The government can't say, well, this only refers to white people. So if that were to be brought to the U.S., it would actually probably benefit non-whites more so. But one thing that can be done is making divorce more and more expensive. It can be pretty expensive as it is, but making it harder to get, making it more expensive for all involved, taxing it, et cetera, that would be a great thing that even the Western countries can do. The U.S. can do, Britain can do that. But even if it were done, you know, in the U.S., it still would be somewhat beneficial to make having children as cheap as possible, even subsidizing it. We know actually among the third world population in the U.S., it's already being done. Whites don't benefit from that. But this is one of the – and I had no idea the Hungarians have a Habsburg as the ambassador. I guarantee you the Pope is against that too. But this Pope, he could run around Rome naked and it wouldn't surprise me. Nothing this Pope says or does surprises me anymore. This guy is – you know, I'm glad I'm not Catholic. I used to be Catholic many years ago. It's very, very – I have no – I don't envy those people. Being Catholic and supporting the Pope has got to be one of the most difficult things for any Catholic to do.
Well, actually, divorce is going down seems to be an unintended consequence of his policies as well. And obviously, in Hungary, they are still Hungarians. So when he institutes these policies to increase the birth rates of Hungarians, it's not going to have the knock-on effect of all the immigrant communities helping themselves to the benefits as well, which of course would be the problem in America. They'd have to make it specifically white Americans, or in Britain, it would have to be white British. In Hungary, the population has been decreasing since 1981, said Katalin Novak, Hungary's state secretary for Family, Youth and International Affairs, explaining the enormity of the turnaround her government has achieved. In 2010, when Fidesz won the elections with a two-thirds majority, after 8 years of socialist, anti-work, anti-economy and anti-family governance, our country was at the brink of collapse, she recalled, citing austerity packages and the dismantling of the family benefit system. In 2010, we started to build a family-friendly country. Our main goal is to eliminate the burdens that couples face when they would like to have children, she said, highlighting policies including lifelong exemption from personal income tax for women with four children, partial mortgage write-offs for families after the birth of their second child, and grandparental leave. The recent demographic figures speak for themselves. The number of marriages is at its 40-year high, the fertility rate is at its 20-year high, while the divorces haven't been as low as last year in the last 6 decades, she added proudly. Imagine that, the best or the lowest divorce rate in 6 decades. I mean, nobody else even speaks about divorce apart from nationalists about how harmful it is to the family. You know, none of these politicians talk about getting the divorce rate down, and yet Hungary have managed to get it down to the lowest it's ever been for 60 years, and with marriages at a 40-year high. And this is incredible what they've managed to achieve here, Matt.
The ultimate economic stimulus policy is having strong families. If you make it so that remaining married and working through problems is worth your while, not just emotionally but financially, you automatically decrease poverty. In the U.S., amongst intact families, the poverty rate is something between 7 and 9%. The poor are overwhelmingly single-parent households. That's the ultimate economic policy, is to make sure that marriages remain. They're rarely poor. They're rarely dysfunctional in the real nasty sense. These are usually all single-parent families, or, you know, they might as well be no-parent families in some cases. It's not just a cultural matter, it's not just a religious matter, but it's also about natural law and having a rational economy. If you make getting divorces expensive and having children, not just financially beneficial, but also, you know, promoting the idea that this is a good thing to do, because so many of our people aren't getting married, you know, the red pill guys are right about this, you know, the risk you take getting married, eliminating those incentives for divorce, making marriage worthwhile again, That's automatically going to eliminate, over time, going to eliminate poverty to a tremendous extent. The family is the center of everything. It's the anti-crime policies. It's an anti-unemployment policy. It's an anti-poverty policy. That's why Hungary is going to, you know, it was almost the fourth world just a few years ago. And that's changing now. And Poland is doing a lot of the same things. And their economy is going to be outstripping even Western Europe very, very soon. And so you're going to get so much condemnation from the Western powers. I don't know what they're capable of doing in these places.
Well, the difference is in Britain, what they do is they give benefits out for single mothers. And what they're doing in Hungary is the benefits are there for families, if the families stay together, which is obviously of the greatest benefit to the children. The state secretary, herself a mother of three, and compare that to the feminists we have in the British administration, who most of them are spinsters. The state secretary, herself a mother of three, was forthright when pressed to comment on the past remarks of outlets such as the Left Liberal Economist magazine, which rubbished the Hungarian government's aspirations to arrest its demographic decline through so-called natalist policies rather than mass immigration, as Western European countries such as Britain, Germany and Sweden have attempted. The Hungarian point of view is that we have to rely on our own internal resources, namely supporting families and enabling young couples to have children. The other approach says that there is overpopulation in one half of the world, while there is a population decline in the other. So let's just simply balance the difference, she said, offering a concise summary of the current state of the debate. We are lectured and stigmatized simply because we took a different path to the one from the mainstream, and exposed to continuous attacks for years. But facts are facts. Our results are clear, and we also enjoy the support of the Hungarian people, she said. And this is the big difference. By having a policy like this, Fidesz have got a two-thirds majority. If when you just import foreigners, you end up with nobody being able to get a huge majority, and a large portion of the public really disliking the government for what they're doing. I mean, to say that we are relying on our internal resources, again, what she's saying there, she's identifying the greatest resource that the Hungarians have is the Hungarian people. It's their children. What do you make of this bit, Matt?
It sounds like a corny slogan, but it's absolutely true. This is a powerful economic policy. Let the left scream and yell. Let the media, the Economist of London is a Rothschild mouthpiece. I used to read that many years ago. It's connected to the Rothschild family directly. Let them scream and yell. Politicians the world over are going to start noticing that politicians like in Russia or Belarus, Hungary and Poland, are doing very, very well electorally, that they're very popular. And that may promote the greed of some of these guys for votes. And this may have spillover effects into other countries. If you want to be popular, get elected, stay elected, you develop these kind of policies. If you want to become unpopular, do what they're doing in Britain or Germany or the US. And I'm hoping that politicians are going to notice that these things not only are good for the economy and for the culture, but they're very, very popular. And so Orban, unless they do something to him or figure out some way to destroy the economy, he's going to be there for a long time.
Well, yeah, he's shown that this works because the economy constantly keeps improving over there. Well, the state secretary has something to say to The Economist. She says, "I read the critics and the pessimistic predictions of The Economist back in February. Now I would be pleased to read at least the recognition of the facts, the obvious positive demographic figures in recent months," she added, in what may prove to be a forlorn hope. Ms. Novak also offered a tactful rebuke to the Swedish government, which took the extraordinary decision to summon the Hungarian ambassador when the most recent package of pro-family policies were announced, claiming that they reeked of the 1930s. After the outrageous statement of their family minister, many Swedish people assured me that they would very much welcome such a supportive pro-family policy package in their own country, said Novak. I won't teach lessons to other governments, but I await for them to give us the same respect. Isn't that incredible? You know, a pro-family policy package to encourage people to have children is likened to the 1930s, and that's National Socialism. I think most people wouldn't actually believe that if you told them, Matt, that a government that had a pro-family policy was likened to the Nazis for doing so. I think if people actually knew that, then we might see some changes with our own politicians. Well, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.